DW.
Renewed attacks on civilian quarters in Syria. Deadly airstrikes hitting hospitals in Yemen. Hundreds of civilians killed in Afghanistan. In 2019, 70 years after the adoption of the Geneva Conventions, the treaties that, according to the International Committee of the Red Cross, contain the most important rules limiting the barbarity of war, don't appear to be limiting much of anything. Africa, the Middle East, Southeast Asia, Latin America. Examples of violations can be found the world over, says Kenneth Roth, executive director of Human Rights Watch.
The fact that these norms exist doesn't mean that everybody respects them. And today, I think the most blatant affront to the Geneva Conventions is the way that Russian and Syrian forces are fighting the conflict in Syria, beginning with Assad and then joined by Putin when Russian military forces engaged there. The Syrian military has been deliberately targeting civilians and civilian institutions in areas held by the armed opposition.
But Helen Durham, Director of Humanitarian Law and Policy at the International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC, says just because the laws appear to be broken, that doesn't make the conventions any less relevant.
Key principles that the Geneva Conventions stand for, and in fact the whole of international humanitarian law or the law of war, is still as relevant and as important today. Whilst we see all the time in the media, on our phones, on all sorts of communication, whilst we see the horrors of the suffering that occurs and the unacceptable breaches of the laws of war, civilians being attacked, prisoners of war being treated with a lack of dignity, there are many, many cases where the laws of war actually make a huge difference and actually do provide dignity and humanity in war.
In fact, said ICRC President Peter Maurer in a recent address, there are only a handful of places where the Geneva Conventions aren't being observed. By contrast, there are hundreds of thousands of cases where they are respected. When a starving child on the front lines gets food and other humanitarian aid, for example, or when an injured person is allowed to pass a checkpoint and receive medical attention. That wasn't the case during World War II. Civilians had no specific international treaty to protect them during the conflict, which ultimately killed tens of millions of people in Europe and around the world.
C'est donc un devoir impérieux d'élaborer en temps de paix des conventions protégeant les victimes de la guerre.
In the aftermath, world powers, with the terrible atrocities of the war still fresh in their minds, adopted the Geneva Conventions, the basis of international humanitarian law, on August 12, 1949. The four international treaties and ensuing protocols aim to protect people not involved in conflict, civilians, medics, prisoners of war, and soldiers who can no longer fight. Today, the conventions have been ratified by 196 states, including all UN member states and observers like Palestine, the latest to back the conventions in 2014. And despite governments in places like Syria, Yemen, and Myanmar failing to respect the laws, Durham doesn't believe they need an update.
The law itself doesn't need to be updated. It's very clear. I think what needs to happen is there to be more political pressure globally put on from all parties in conflicts, whether it be Syria or other countries, to apply the law itself. So I think often people get disillusioned. They see the examples where it doesn't work and their answer is we need to change the law. Sometimes it's about actually putting more pressure on making sure the law is applied.
Roth of Human Rights Watch agrees the treaties are still universally relevant.
Although there are many violators of the Geneva Conventions, nobody really challenges the essence of the Geneva Conventions. Nobody claims that it's okay to target civilians, that it's okay to fire indiscriminately. These are our basic norms, basic prohibitions that are understood universally to constitute war crimes if violated.
Where he does see room for improvement is with enforcement and international oversight, something the creation of the International Criminal Court in 2002 sought to address.
Syria has presented a real challenge there because given the scope of the atrocities, it would be natural to send Syria to the International Criminal Court. But that process has been blocked by the Russian and at times the Chinese veto in the UN Security Council. So the International Criminal Court has lacked jurisdiction for the war crimes in Syria. And it has been necessary as a result to come up with other routes to accountability. One has been through the UN General Assembly, where there is no veto, and it voted overwhelmingly by a vote of 105-15 to create something that's known as the International Impartial Investigative Mechanism, the IIIM, which is basically a prosecutor for Syrian war crimes without a tribunal.
A number of European countries have also decided to use a principle in international law known as universal jurisdiction to begin prosecuting war criminals abroad. Germany and France have been at the forefront of the effort to pursue Syrian war criminals, says Roth. Durham says the Geneva Conventions will remain vital, while new aspects will be added.
The laws of war, whilst they were codified, the main bits of them, 70 years ago, and then we've had updates with additional protocols, like any law, particularly international law, it has to be evolving. And so I think the basic principles need to have stronger respect, and we need to start looking at some of the other challenges we're facing, in particular new technologies.
Cyber warfare and artificial intelligence need to be considered, Durham says. And issues like the environmental costs of war will continue to provide evolving challenges to the Geneva Conventions. 40W, I'm Martin Kubler. DW.